Thank you, musicians. Continuing tonight with the restoration class, that we're on chapter 8 now, to your value to God. Let's go ahead and pray, and I'll let you be seated. Lord, I love you. I thank you. We ask your blessing, Lord, upon our time together tonight as we look into this lesson on our value to God. Lord, I pray your hand, Lord, to be upon us. Open our understanding, God. Give us a clear voice tonight of, Lord, what we mean to you. Help us, Lord, to keep it in our hearts. And, Lord, that you would lift us up. Help us, Lord, to serve you, and we give you thanks for it all, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. I think there's like one, I see one extra copy up here. Anybody not get a handout? Okay, everybody's got one. According to Psychology Today, a magazine, it stated 10.1% of the population. I think the problem is probably larger than that. At 10.1%, it accounts for about 35 million Americans that they feel sad, hopeless, worthless at any given time. The thinking or feeling that one has no value, sees oneself as being unimportant, unwanted, worthless, to have those types of feelings is dangerous and damaging thinking. Amen. Think about it. Now, we don't have a huge church, right? We have a median-sized church. And even within this local congregation, people have knee surgeries and leg problems and foot problems and back problems, and sometimes they need to use walkers because their body is in some manner of hurting. And when you can't do what you want to do, it does something to your thinking. It does something to our human nature. But our spiritual man, we need to, this class today, I think, is going to affect every person's life. I don't think anybody is, in your lifetime, is going to be exempt from feeling like you're down. Feeling like, oh man, I can't go to work, or I can't do this, or I can't do that, or I can't participate, or perhaps even I can't get to church, I can't do what I need to do. Or those feelings affect our mind. It does not affect what God thinks about you. Amen. Amen. People who have these feelings, or they let these types of feelings get to your mind, get to your psyche, get to your innermost feelings, if those things that are happening to you are getting to you that you feel unimportant, unwanted, or worthless, these things are going to happen. People who feel and think that way seldom accomplish even the simplest goals. Almost never reach their potential. Continually put themselves down. They become extremely self-conscious. Unfortunate, but they point out faults in others because they feel down. Don't take care of their own health is a common symptom. don't take care of their own health. They sabotage relationships. You know, they may make it hard to, a child may make it hard for a parent, or a parent make it hard for a child or a spouse. You get the idea. May make others feel worthless because misery loves company. You ever heard that before? Difficulty conquering bad habits. Struggle with their own faith. The quote, hurting people hurt people, is absolutely true. It is true. We are, on a daily basis, surrounded by hurting people. This thing says 10% of the population. Man, if this was my estimation, I don't have a statistical analysis of the population of our country. But it seems like almost 100% of people feel this way at some point. Not that you're going to feel that way all the time. I consider myself a pretty positive thinker. I try to look at things in a positive light. Even when things have gone bad, I try to see what good will come out of it. But even I have to admit, there's times that our flesh makes us think like this. People lash out at others because they've come to believe that they themselves have no value. It's a symptom in our world. But if you will believe the Word of God, if you will believe what God says in His Word, and we're going to look at that tonight, if you'll believe what is in this lesson, then you will know that your worth to God is not dependent upon your human physical abilities. It's not dependent on that. It's not dependent on your ability to do good things. It's not dependent on our flesh. Amen. We'll get into it more in depth here. With this lesson, it is our desire to help hurting people understand the immense value, someone say value, they have in God. How valuable you are to Jesus. Amen. Colossians 1 verse 16 speaks of our value in God and by God. It says, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him." Do you know that God created you in your mother's womb? Amen. If it wasn't for the miracle anatomy that God gave a man and a woman, amen. And some, you know, God has miraculously made babies. Jesus was born of a virgin. Right? Praise the Lord. Sarah was 100 years old and she had her first baby. 90, sorry. The 90. Yeah, the dad was 100. That's a pretty old couple, by the way. What a shock that would be. Woo! But God is able. God made you for Himself. Praise the Lord. He is the beautiful truth. Or here is the beautiful truth of that verse. You and I were made by God and made for God. Amen. That is the first revelation we must understand and embrace. We got to get it in our thinking that God made us and that He specifically made us for Himself. Amen. We really do belong to God. I belong to God. Amen. We got to start knowing that. It's already true. It's already so. We just got to remember it. We just got to understand it. Amen. We really are the apple of His eye. You know, the center of what He wants to look at. You know, He wants to watch and see. And when we understand that revelation, when we understand our place, when we understand that we are made by and for God, that understanding, it will give value to your very existence. Amen. Undergird us in times of sadness and struggle. Those times will come. We do sometimes get sad. And yes, we do sometimes struggle. And in those times, it's particularly important that we remember we belong to God. I belong to God. I am His property. He purchased me with His own blood. Amen. Give us a sense of belonging and value. A sense that we will all require. We need to have this understanding. We all want to be valuable to somebody. Everybody wants to be valuable to somebody. Studying Genesis chapter 1, the beginning of the Bible, verses 1 to 13, we understand that God created the earth, everything on the earth, everything above the earth. Heaven and earth was created by God. Amen. The first day He said it, spoke it, and it was so that there was light and darkness. Amen. The second day, the sky and the waters were separated. The third day, the land and the seas and vegetation appeared. The fourth day, sun and the moon, the stars, to govern the day and the night and to mark the seasons and the days and the years. I think it's amazing that before the fourth day, there was no time. It was just eternity. It was just God and His creation, what He was in the midst of creating. Fourth day, time began. The fifth day, fish and birds filled the waters, filled the sky. Sixth day, animals filled the earth, male and female, mankind were created. He breathed into the nostrils of man and he became a living soul. Amen. Made them, male and female, created them to take care of the earth and to commune with God, to be close to God. God created us to be close to Him. That was and is even now His purpose for man, that we would be close to God. It's God's intention for us. He made us to be that way. God made me that I would love Him. Amen. That I would appreciate Him. Praise the Lord. There is a very, very real excitement that comes to each of us when we read and then when we understand the depth of God's love. I pray that we could understand just how much God loves us. Zephaniah 3, verse number 17. English Revised Version. I think that's what ERV is. I'm not quite sure. The Lord your God is with you. He is like a powerful soldier. He will save you. He will show you how much He loves you and how happy He is with you. He will laugh and be happy about you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good stuff, yeah. You see, nowhere else in Scripture do we ever find God using such language except when He is talking about us, about people. Amen. You know, I've given a lot of thought to the question found in Psalms 8 and verse number 4. It's a simple verse, but wow, this you could really think deep on this one. What is man that thou art mindful of him? If we look at the same scripture as it appears in a different version, a more modern translation. And I wonder, why are people so important to you? Why do you think about them? Why do you care so much about humans? Why do you even notice them? Do you notice every ant in the grass? Maybe when they cross the sidewalk, you might see one. It's like them crossing the interstate, right? Oh, I've seen one crossing the sidewalk. Well, there's ants all over the place. We don't even notice them. Well, if we're so small and God is so great, why does He even notice us? Perspective. Praise the Lord. Every child of God must understand that they are, there's a little list. Excuse me. Every child of God, they are God's crowning achievement. They are the apple of His eye, the sheep of His pasture. They are His children, His bride, the church of the living God. Amen. When we look at the vast expanse of creation, and I don't think man hadn't even looked at it all yet. They're still trying to figure out what's out there. We have to wonder how God could be so concerned about us. Understanding how much God loves us, cares for us, understands us. God understands you better than you understand yourself. He does. He does. How He reaches for us, takes away any and all questions about our worth and our value to Him. If we could understand, then we would know how valuable we are to God. In fact, God made man in His own image. Praise the Lord. Genesis 1:27, God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. No matter how you feel about yourself at any given point, sometimes you feel good and sometimes you don't. Being a human being is kind of fickle. Our emotions are unstable at times. Not always, but at times. People get mad. And people get jealous. And people get, you name it, all kinds of stuff, all kinds of feelings. Things happen. And our emotions go crazy. But no matter where we are, understand how much God loves you. Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16, NCV, New Christian Version? I don't know. That's a guess. I don't know what the NCV is. You made my whole being. You formed me in my mother's body. I praise you because you made me in an amazing and wonderful way. What you have done is wonderful. I know this very well. You saw my bones being formed as I took shape in my mother's body. When I was put together there, you saw my body as it was formed. All the days planned for me were written in your book before I was one day old. Amen. I don't know how, but if you have ever seen a newborn baby on the first day that baby's born, any baby less than 24 hours old, you just look really, really close. You know, you don't usually get to hold them, but you can look really good at them. Mamas get to hold them. The nurses keep grandpas away. There ought to be a rule against that. But if you look really, really close at a newborn baby, you will recognize the miraculous miracle that God has made. Oh, it's so incredible what God has done. Amen. And whether if that person is 2 hours old or 20 years old or 80 years old, God still made them. Amen. When I'm that 80-year-old guy dancing down the hallway in the church, praise God. I kid you not, that's my high aspiration. I want to live for God all the days of my life. I want to make it all the way to the end. Amen. Praise the Lord. Never question your value to God. Never question. God loves you. God made you. When you are tempted, question your value. Just think about the length God goes in order to save us. God robed himself in flesh. Didn't send his, I don't even like the term, he sent his son. No, God robed himself in flesh and then volunteered to die. Gave himself willingly for us. That's a pretty high price. John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. I recognize this as God gave himself. Amen. Romans 5, verse 8, Paul wrote, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When I was in the world, when I was doing drugs, when I was bad, when I was ungodly, God still loved me. God loved me. Even then, God still loved me. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 6, Paul wrote again, But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Are you convinced yet? Do you know that God loves you? I hope so. I hope you know that God loves you. You see, redemption is perhaps the greatest exercise and example of His great love toward us, for us. He redeemed us, paid for us, allowed us the opportunity to be saved. Revelation 5, verse 9. It's a picture of the church standing around the throne in heaven. Here's John the Revelator's description of that event. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Amen. We must be of a super valuable thing to God, because He is faithful when we are not. You're a human being, and because of your human nature, we fail God. But He still loves us. Even when you mess up, God still loves us. He is consistent when we are not. We try to be. I try to be. I want to be. I want to be just as consistent as I possibly humanly can. But I'm human. And because of my humanity, I'm less than perfect. And God still loves me. Amen. You may not be perfect in your flesh, but God still, that doesn't lessen God's love for you. He loves you even when you're imperfect. He loved us when we didn't love Him. For a bunch of us, that was a lot of years we did not serve God. But He loves us. He never leaves us. Even when people leave Him, God still loves them. You see somebody that was in church, you make sure that you tell them, God loves you. Oh, you can say it with absolute certainty. It's not a cliche. It's not just a nice saying. It is something that is undeniably and unchangeably true. God loves you. You can point your finger at Him. God loves you. And mean it. Listen to how God Himself describes you. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. God has called me to live this life that I endeavor to live. This is the life that God wants for me. If you know what He thinks of you, it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks about you. You know, there's people that think I'm crazy for doing. Why do you go to church so much? Why would you study for a sermon more than twice a week? Why would you do this or that? Why would you do that? You know, they don't understand. They don't get it. No. I feel so insufficient. I have not done enough. I can't get good enough. And God still loves me. God still loves me. Consider the covenant and commitment the mighty God of the universe made for you. Isaiah 41, verse 10 to 12. Again, NCV. I'm not sure what that is. So don't worry because I am with you. Don't be afraid because I am your God. I will make you strong and will help you. I will support you with my right hand that saves you. All those people who are angry with you will be ashamed and disgraced. Those who are against you will disappear and be lost. You will look for your enemies, but you will not find them. Those who fight against you shall vanish completely. Wow. Tell you what, God's got it all under control. I don't have to worry about all that stuff. You know, what's going to happen from here on out? What's going to happen when I get old? Well, I'm finding out. Here I am. Here I am, and God still loves me. Praise the Lord. Think about this question. What can bring pleasure to God? God, He's got everything. God made everything. And everything already belongs to God. So what would give pleasure to God? Who made everything that was made? That all things were made by Him and for Him, who holds all power in the palm of His hand, that heaven is His throne and earth is His footstool, that all power in heaven and earth belongs to Him, who is before all things and by Him all things consist, who is the King of kings, who is Lord of lords, who is first and last. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. Who was and is to come, the Almighty. That God who is omnipresent. Everywhere at the same time. Omniscient, all-knowing, knows everything. Who is omnipotent, all-powerful. What could possibly bring pleasure to a God with so many achievements, acts, exploits, and authority? What would He have pleasure in? Psalms 35, answer this with Scripture. Psalms 35, verse 27, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of His servants. God wants to see you prosper. It gives God pleasure to see you prosper. Psalm 147. Verse 11, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, in those that hope in His mercy. Psalms 149, verse 4, for the Lord taketh pleasure in His people. 1 Chronicles 29:17. I know also, my God, that thou tarriest or triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. Amen. Considering the greatness and the power and the majesty of God, it's hard for me even to comprehend, but my wildest imagination, God is greater than that. Amen. But as great as God is, it is amazing and it is wonderful that within the passages of Scripture, we can only find 4 verses about what brings pleasure to God. And all 4 verses are about you. Every one of them. The only thing that gives pleasure to God is His people. He loves you so much that you are that which brings Him pleasure. You bring God pleasure. He finds pleasure in His people. He finds pleasure in the honor and reverence He receives from His people. He finds pleasure in the prosperity of His people. He finds pleasure in the uprightness of His people. That's it. That's all. That's the only thing. You are the only thing that brings pleasure to God. Amen. There is not a single verse in your Bible that says God finds pleasure in the vastness of the universe, for example. It's absolutely incredibly amazing how big the universe is. They make bigger and bigger telescopes. They're still trying to figure it out. I don't think man will ever see the end, because it's greater than man is capable of. The vastness of places on earth. Here, the Mojave Desert. The beauty of the Shenandoah Valley. The Adirondacks. The massive redwood trees. If you've ever seen one up close and impersonal, it's incredible. They are just way cool. Standing at the bottom of a 300-foot tree, bark 10 inches thick. Ride a road through it. Just massive. The depth of the Marianas Trench. God made that, but He doesn't take pleasure in it. The vastness of the ocean, God doesn't take pleasure in that. Mighty rivers, the Mississippi, the beauty and aroma of a unfolding red rose. It's just incredible. You look at that thing close, it is absolutely incredible. It's just a wonderful creation of God. The massive size of an elephant, the ferociousness of a killer whale. What is it? God only finds pleasure in His people. It's the only thing. It's amazing. That's how valuable you are to God. No, God can only find pleasure in you. We are valuable to God, and our value comes from God. Sin and worldliness perverts the value of a human being. We go against God's plan when we go against God. Sin and worldliness pervert things. No person is made valuable because of their looks or education or vocation or their wealth, their money, their talent, their ability, associations, possessions, clothing, vehicle, houses, address. None of that matters to God. None of that makes you more valuable to God. It was a man by the name of Sam Clydman, I think, who wrote, "Value like beauty is in the eye of the beholder." Now, there's probably a bunch of people in the world that would agree with him. But sorry, Sam. But that simply is not true. Our value is not based on what other people think of us or how other people see us. The people of God are valuable because we are His. That is what makes us valuable. Because we belong to Him. This is talking about Brother Irvin Cunningham. He says, "I own nearly 100 Bibles. And about 50 different translations. I have one Bible that was printed and painted in 1864. It took nearly 2 years to produce. I have a couple Bibles that are more valuable to me than all the others. These Bibles that are so valuable to me," he's talking about these special ones, "they are badly worn. Their pages are torn. There is a lot of writing on the pages, some that cannot be read. The covers are separating from the binding. They are large and bulky to carry. They are not expensive. They are not necessarily made with the best leather and paper. The gold embossing is wearing off. Yet, they are the most valuable Bibles in my library," his extensive library. Why? Because they belonged to his pastor, his grandfather, J.C. Cole, or his uncle, Billy Cole. The true value of these Bibles is determined by whom they belonged. The same is true of us. I belong to Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me? Would you believe that you can point your finger at your own self? I belong to Jesus Christ. Amen. And therefore, I'm valuable to Him. Would you love Him with me? Lord, I love You. I thank You. Thank You, Jesus, for all that You have done, for letting us know, Lord, how valuable we are to You. Lord, that You have given us value in our lives, that when we serve You, Lord, when we worship You, when we live for You, Lord, it gives You pleasure, and we are valuable to You. Lord, I thank You, even when we're up or when we're down, even when we're weak or when we're strong, Lord, we are Yours. We belong to You. Lord, everything that is within me, Lord, let it give You praise and give You worship and worship Your name. Lord, that You, Jesus, would be pleased with me. Thank You, Lord. Help me to serve You. In Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. I think the class may not get done for a few more minutes, so give them a space, a short space of additional time. Thank you.